A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that have come to be, passing through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not belonging to this creation, he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a heifer's ashes can sanctify those who are defiled, so that their flesh is cleansed, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? For this reason, he is mediator of a new covenant, since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant. Those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The word of the Lord. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Sacrifice or oblation you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come.
Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will.
In the written scroll is prescribed for me, to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know.
Here I am, Lord, I come to do
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Since it was preparation day, in order that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day of that week was a solemn one, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs be broken and they be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and then of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one soldier thrust his lance into his side, and immediately blood and water flowed out. An eyewitness has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows that he is speaking the truth, so that you also may come to believe. For this happened so that the scripture passage might be fulfilled, not a bone of it will be broken. And again, another passage says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. Verbum Domini.
Today we're offering a votive mass of the precious blood of Jesus. And the church has always honored the most precious blood. St. Peter, our first pope, helps us to understand this devotion better in his first letter. Referring to our redemption, St. Peter says that we were ransomed not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Our Lord redeemed us, saved us by shedding his blood for us. And it is precious because it is the blood of the living God who took on our human nature to suffer and to die for our salvation. Our fourth pope, St. Clement I, writing in the late first century, wrote, "Let us fix our gaze on the blood of Christ and realize how truly precious it is, seeing that it was poured out for our salvation and brought the grace of conversion to the whole world." So the blood of Christ, which was shed for us, brought about the grace of conversion. Conversion from what? From sin. So an important aspect, therefore, in this devotion to the most precious blood also consists in realizing the gravity and the horror of sin. It's not only an offense against Almighty God, but it cost the shedding of our Lord's blood to forgive us our sins. This was in God's plan. And the church has promoted devotion to the precious blood by approving the litany of the most precious blood to awaken in us the conviction and the effectiveness of the Lord's most precious blood in our lives. So if we just look at some of the invocations contained in this litany, they show its power and its effectiveness, such as we hear the following. Blood of Christ, price of our salvation. Blood of Christ, without which there is no forgiveness. Blood of Christ, Eucharistic drink and refreshment of souls. Blood of Christ, stream of mercy. Blood of Christ, victor over demons. Blood of Christ, courage of martyrs. Blood of Christ, help of those in peril. Blood of Christ, relief of the burdened. Blood of Christ, solace in sorrow. Blood of Christ, hope of the penitent. Blood of Christ, consolation of the dying. Blood of Christ, peace and tenderness of hearts. Blood of Christ, pledge of eternal life. And blood of Christ, freeing souls from purgatory. There is great power and effectiveness in the most precious blood of Jesus. If we look back at the Old Testament, we recall that God, remember, he first prohibited the consumption of blood. The reason is given in Leviticus 17, verse 11, is that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood is sacred because God is the author of all life. All life belongs to him. And its sacredness makes it very fitting to be used in the establishment of covenants. You see that in the book of Exodus chapter 24, when Moses took the blood of oxen that were sacrificed to God and he threw it on the people. And he said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you." Our blood is sacred. It's holy. It's used to make this covenant with God. And blood is also connected with atonement from sin, even from the Old Testament. In Leviticus 17, that same verse that said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood," we hear, "I have given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life." So again, we see that connection there. And of course, our Lord would establish the new and everlasting covenant in his blood, right? The blood of our God. In God's plan, blood was also used as a sign of protection. Right? We see this in Exodus. Before the final plague came upon Egypt, which would wipe out all the firstborn in Egypt, both man and beast, God instructed the Israelites to put the blood of the unblemished lamb on their doorposts and on the lintels of their houses. And God would say, the blood shall be a sign for you upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall fall upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So just looking at these characteristics of the sacredness and the importance of blood in the Old Testament, by looking at them, we see their ultimate fulfillment in the blood of Christ. His life, his blood is life-giving. That's why he said in John chapter 6, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And our Lord's blood also cleanses and frees us from the power of sin. Again, we saw the prefigurement, the sign in the Old Testament. And the Lord said that the blood will make atonement. His blood really does make atonement, right? God was doing that for looking forward to the blood of Christ, pointing forward to the blood of Christ, which should be shed. So St. John says in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, he addresses Christ the Lord, and he says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. And finally, the connection between the Exodus, when the destroying angel saw the blood of the unblemished lamb on the doorposts. St. John Chrysostom commented on this and seeing that connection between that and the blood of Christ. St. John Chrysostom would say, in those days, when the destroying angel saw the blood on the doors, he did not dare to enter. So how much less will the devil approach now when he sees not that figurative blood on the doors, but the true blood on the lips of believers, the doors of the temple of Christ. And I'll conclude with the prayer given at the end of the litany of the most precious blood. Almighty and eternal God, you have appointed your only begotten Son, the Redeemer of the world, and willed to be appeased by his blood. Grant, we beg of you, that we may worthily adore this price of our salvation, and through its power be safeguarded from the evils of the present life, so that we may rejoice in its fruits forever in heaven, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.